This is CICK News. The Terrace Major Crimes Unit released a statement this week that two men have been charged with offenses related to a hit and run that occurred in November 2018 where one man died. Taylor Stogren and Conrad Wiersbicki, both of Surrey, BC, have been charged with indignity to human remains and obstructing justice. Taylor Stogren has also been charged with failure to stop at the scene of an accident. In the following interview, you'll hear details of the hit and run, which may be triggering for some listeners. As Sergeant Clark will iterate in the interview you're about to hear, this case is complex.
My name is Staff Sergeant Chris Clark, and I'm the Senior Media Relations Officer for the BC RCMP.
So we're speaking about the charges that were just released about a 2018 case. Can you brief myself and the listeners on the circumstances of the case?
Yeah, so back November 18th of 2018, at about 3 a.m., Cameron Kerr was walking along Highway 16 when he was struck by a westbound vehicle just west of Terrace. His body was allegedly rolled into the ditch where he remained until he was discovered later that day by a passerby. The file was originally taken over by a BC Highway Patrol, and they identified some suspects from evidence left at the scene as well as tips from the public. Arrests were made fairly shortly after the event, but however, no charges were laid at the outset.
What made it take so long in order for the charge of indignity to human remains and obstruction of justice for those to actually be released on the two suspects?
Well, what I can say is that this is a very complex investigation. It's not uncommon for when there's a criminal death for it to take a considerable amount of time to not only to investigate that crime, but also then for for BC Prosecution Service to review that investigation through their charge assessment process. This is not uncommon. Certainly, we do recognize that it has taken quite some time, and the patience of the community and the family is appreciated.
Garrett Kerr is Cameron's older brother. I reached out to him on Facebook to see how he felt about the charges and timeline of this case. While he declined to be recorded, he sent CICK News this message. Quote, I don't have a strong enough understanding of the potential charges they considered and maybe weren't able to apply at this point. We understand the justice system is challenging to work through, and we're grateful that they were able to apply the charges that they have and hopeful that maybe some more charges come as the trial progresses. Obstruction of justice seems like an obvious charge, given our understanding of the events that transpired after Cameron was struck and the 6.5 years it's taken to get to this point. We've known for some time now that the evidence strongly suggested Cameron's body was moved, but I know that is a particularly difficult revelation for those that are just learning this. To me, those actions are not inconsistent with the type of people that could do this and then let Cameron's loved ones suffer for years without closure while they moved on with their lives. We are certainly grateful the RCMP were able to compile the evidence to support that charge. As for potential sentences, I think we're trying not to get ahead of ourselves. Much of our coping strategy to date has been about managing expectations. So I think we'll try to continue with that approach. But as I've said numerous times over the last few days, it feels good to hope again. Has there been any comment, or have you yourself spoken to the family?
I haven't myself spoken to the family, but I do know that we are in contact with them. We have a family liaison that spoke with them before we made this announcement. And certainly, yes, this is one step. The case is now before the courts. There's still more work to be done, essentially. We're fortunate that we're at a point now where we've obtained charge approval.
Okay. What are the next steps in this case?
So next steps are the two accused, Taylor Stogren and Conrad Wiersbicki, are both scheduled for court, I believe, next month. And that's simply to fix a date, and the court process will continue. Essentially, we'll be supporting court process until that process concludes. Every case is unique, and every case comes with challenges. And those challenges are overcome through the course of the investigation, through evidence of the scene, witness statements, canvassing for video, etc. I can't speak to this one specifically, but anytime there's a criminal death, we want to ensure that we have all the available evidence, and sometimes that just takes more time than others.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me about that.
Yeah, no problem.
That was Senior RCMP Media Relations Officer Sergeant Chris Clark speaking on the charges against two men who hit Cameron Kerr, a Terrace man, with their vehicle in 2018, resulting in Cameron's death on the side of Highway 16. For over four decades, the town of Smithers has flown flags from countries around the world along Main Street. One of those flags hangs outside of Skeena MP Taylor Bacharach's office, and it happens to be the American flag. Listen to his thoughts on that today on CICK News, as well as perspectives from people walking by his office on a sunny Tuesday afternoon. And Taylor and I are speaking today about more American-Canadian tension, this time focused on Tuesday's announcement that Donald Trump would implement a 25-50% tariff on Canadian steel and how Unifor, the steelworkers' union, has responded.
It's Taylor Bacharach. I'm the Member of Parliament for Skeena Buckley Valley.
Okay, so Trump just announced an additional 25% to 50% tariff on steel and aluminum coming into the U.S. from Canada. What are your constituents in Kitimat and Prince Rupert saying to you about this?
Well, I think everyone's fairly apprehensive. There's a ton of uncertainty right now. I should say, to be frank, it's unclear whether he'll follow through, given his behavior over the past couple of weeks. He's changed his mind several times without any real explanation. But if he does follow through, it will have severe impacts economically, most of which will fall on the United States itself. The amazing thing is that the guy's shooting himself in the foot and certainly not doing any favors for Americans or the American economy or American manufacturing. Obviously, my concern and my preoccupation is with the impact here in the Northwest. The aluminum tariffs in particular are something we're watching very closely because, of course, Kitimat, the only Western Canadian aluminum producing community. The smelter in Kitimat has been producing aluminum since the 1950s. It employs about 1,500 people. It's a huge part of the region's economy. And a lot of that, the vast majority of that aluminum gets exported to the United States. I have had conversations with the union in Kitimat, Unifor, which represents most of the workers. I've had conversations with the Aluminum Association of Canada, which represents the industry writ large. It's pretty interesting, the context. Now, Canada's aluminum industry is actually well-positioned to weather the storm by accessing other global markets. It's a commodity that other countries around the world need and are willing to pay for. And to some degree, it seems that Canadian aluminum producers will be able to pivot away from American markets in the case that American demand really drops off. The other interesting part of the situation, though, is the fact that President Trump is apparently doing this to spur on American production of aluminum. But it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, for the United States to increase its aluminum production capacity. It requires a vast amount of electricity that they simply don't have. For instance, the Ford F-150 is largely manufactured using Canadian aluminum. So those manufacturers are going to be in a real bind. Where are they going to get their aluminum from? And there's a good likelihood that they're simply going to have to pay the tariffs and continue to buy Canadian aluminum from our producers. Now, of course, this hurts everybody because they're going to have to raise the price of their product. Many of those products get sold back into the Canadian market. And so we're going to see fairly significant inflation as a result of the tariffs rippling out throughout the economy. And I think Canada and the federal government and the provincial government should be doing everything that we can to push back in a resolute and determined fashion.
Yeah, that's exactly where what I wanted to hear next from you was, we see things like BC liquor stores, they're pulling U.S. Yeah. alcohol off the shelves, urging people to buy Canadian. We're seeing that in grocery stores as well, highlighting Canadian products. And while this is a really excellent show of solidarity, it feels like most reactions to Trump decisions are just that. It feels like they're reactions. So what's happening at the parliamentary level that's proactively trying to secure Canadian either exports for the future or trying to determine what's good for Canadians and trying not to make this just a reaction to Trump like he did with Ford's announcement about the electricity tariff for a few northern states there?
For sure. I think there are two parts to this. There's the short-term strategy and then there's the longer-term strategy. The short-term strategy is necessarily reactive. In the short term, we need to fight with every single tool in the toolbox. And I think if there's a silver lining in all this, it's heartening to see Canadians really coming together and pushing back. Our economy is many times smaller than the American economy, and our population is smaller, but I've been really impressed by people's mettle.
Now, longer term,
for sure, we need a proactive strategy. And I think part of this is coming to terms with the fact that the landscape that we've come to rely on and in some ways take for granted with the United States as a friend and ally and our biggest trading partner has changed forever. Mm-hmm. And that means that we need to rethink our relationships in the world and our trading partners and how we sustain our economy over the long haul. So I know those conversations are going on. We are fortunate here in the Northwest. We have the Port of Prince Rupert, which has access to the Pacific and access to Asia and certainly a lot of really robust international markets. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge strength. And our hope is that over time, we're going to be able to pivot and diversify our market, keep those Canadian jobs here in the Northwest and across Canada.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you're getting interviewed about this a lot, but something also that's within your line of vision is there's an American flag outside of your office in downtown Smithers on Main Street.
Yeah.
And I've heard you want that taken down. Is this true?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the flag that's outside the office. I think if anything, we should have the Canadian flag flying outside the office of the federal elected representatives. Mm-hmm. I've conveyed that to the mayor.
Ever since the 1980s, the town of Smithers has hung flags from countries on poles along Main Street. Requests can be made to include countries as there are less poles than countries on the globe, and the town does its best to accommodate those requests. And so I asked Smithers Mayor Gladys Attrill what she thought.
Well, I feel fine about it. I think personally, you know, there's so much going on right now that I think is important for us to remember what the issues are. And I am, like many Canadians, pretty upset with the decisions made by the American administration. I, like many, am becoming more and more fiercely patriotic about this country that I love. At the same time, I think one of the values of being Canadian is that we're welcoming people. And I'm not mad at American citizens. And this community has had long relationships with people who are American. So I do hope we're still a welcoming community.
And aside from one letter, this has not come to council yet?
No.
Yeah.
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
Significant and important neighbor, the American flag has always been part of the mix. Yeah, I just think given the times that we're in, I'd love to see the Canadian flag flying outside our office. We've been giving out a lot of Canadian flags. They've been very popular these days. It is one thing that people can get at their MP's office is you can get a Canadian flag in a number of different sizes. That said, it's not the hill I'm going to die on, and I'll leave it to the town of Smithers to make those kinds of decisions.
I went downtown Smithers, just outside of MP Bacharach's office, to ask people what they thought about the American flag hanging there, and here's some of what passersby had to say. What do you think?
I think it sucks.
You want to see it taken down?
Yes, we do. I do.
Yeah. What's your main reason of wanting to, because they do rotate these flags, right?
Yeah.
Trump? What is it? Yeah. It represents Trump for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
They're not our friends anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
Would you say October of 2024 you wouldn't have cared or noticed?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't. I'd never noticed it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, I'll just ask you, what do you think about the American flag hanging on Main Street?
It doesn't bother me in the slightest.
And in fact, you didn't even notice it?
I didn't notice it, no.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So what do you think?
I don't really think, I think this will blow over between Canada and the United States. I think we should be together, you know, we're two countries that are side by side and help each other out with trade and everything else. So, yeah. So right now we can't do anything with the tariffs because we don't have a leader per se.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What do you think?
I don't have any problem with it. I think it's fine there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are my words. Just, yeah, I didn't even notice it there, but... since you brought it up, it looks fine there. I'm Canadian, but I have no problem with...
It's funny. I think I'm bringing a lot more people's attention to it than most people had seen.
I know. I've never seen it there until you pointed it out to me. So, no problem with it.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're standing actually underneath the American flag here on Main Street. Some people have asked Gladys to take it down.
Okay.
What do you think about it being there?
I don't mind at all.
Yeah.
Everybody's okay here.
Yeah.
I like it. It's colorful and pretty. I don't know.
Are you from Smithers?
I'm actually from Ontario.
Municipal Park. What are your thoughts on the flag there?
Why are there any of those flags on Main Street? Nationalism is one of the first steps toward fascism. So any display of nationalism is not cool with me.
The American one. People are saying that they want to take the American one down.
Yes. Yeah, I would like to see it come down too.
Yeah, you would?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure not all people in the United States agree with what's going on right now, you know. But as for Canada, I think that we should replace the flag, that flag, with maybe a Canadian flag. Or we should put the BC flag up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the last story today comes from a presentation I saw on Tuesday's regular council meeting from Kira Westby and Allison Watson on the 7-year-long project of the Bulkley Valley Museum called the Community Heritage Register. Here's Kira explaining the project and its value to Smithers.
So a community heritage register is a heritage planning tool. So there's lots of different heritage planning tools that are available to municipalities. The one people often think of is like heritage designation, which actually protects a building or a property. This is several steps before that. It's a formal list of these are places in the community that the community has identified as having heritage value for, you know, whether it's a building or we have, for example, some civic spaces or we have totem poles. So things that the community has identified as being significant in telling the story of the community. And it's a list of those and it's an educational tool. So, you know, the planning department will now be aware of what are these heritage places. The first time that myself and Harry Crystalbrink, who's a local historian who's since passed away, we went to council in December 2018 and said, you know, Smithers hasn't really done any heritage planning at all. We have the Central Park building is a designated building. The train station is a designated building. So those are two protected buildings. But those were done in the 1980s and the 1990s. And nothing's really been looked at since. And we do have some interesting heritage buildings and places in the community. And we should start to look at that. And then in 2021, there was a grant opportunity from Heritage BC. So we applied to get the funding to do this project and said, you know, let's come up with a register. Let's dip a toe back into heritage planning. Yes. And that everybody was happy with it.
So if someone's hearing this and let's say they've just missed all the information about this prior and they either live in or know of a property that should be on this registry, is there still time for that or where, what part of the process are you in now with kind of public input?
So what we've done is the initial list of 24 places has gone to council and is now adopted or been adopted by resolution. But we will have sort of an ongoing nomination process. So this isn't like a one and done. It's now set in stone forever. Properties and buildings and places can be added or subtracted. So if people have a property or they own a property or they're interested in knowing more about that, they can contact us. We're going to have a nomination form on our website.
Okay.
And I envision it being like, you know, once we get two or three or four more, we'll go back to council and say, hey, here's the next four, and kind of just keep adding to it over time.
Cool. So it's a living document.
It is a living document. Yeah. That they can even just wander into the museum. We love having people drop by and say hi, or they can give us a call at the museum. Our website is bvmuseum.org. And it's currently under the Get Involved section. There's a subpage for the Heritage Registry, and that's where we'll be putting the forms. We have had people come forward, and I think I mentioned last night at council's, like, the 24th property was a last minute addition in the last 2 weeks because someone said, hey, why isn't mine there? So it's nice to see people are engaged in it and interested in it.
Thanks so much, Kira.
Of course, yeah.
CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.